I mentioned to you last in January that you're a very special people because there's a special calling on you. Last night I stood here and I dared to teach on something that's very, very sensitive. It could be controversial, and it is out there in the world, but it's what Pastor Justin just mentioned. It's your relationship with God and his chosen people. It is Israel, Israel. So I'm here to try to see if, as you put it last night, how do we begin to build the curriculum, the scriptural, spiritual curriculum, like where to from here? So yes, we love Israel. Amen. Yes, we believe in the existence of Israel. Yes, we are for God's chosen people. Yes, we are pro-Semitic, pro-Jewish people. Yes, because it's all in the Word, and God has promises, prophecies about this, all right? So yes, but where to from here? So I would hope that this morning and then tonight, I'll be able to sort of blow some of the fog of diffusion or confusion away, to be able to see clearer. Oh, this is what it means. This is where we're at. This is where we're not at. This is where we need to go. This is why I call this restoring your destiny. Well, what do you mean restore? Are you inferring that our destiny has anything but being restored? Well, I think that we all have to, from time to time, take a check, amen, as to where are we in regard to God's destiny for us. And destiny is a simple word, like destination. Are we on the right track? Are we? I think that you already have a wonderful theological base. The parameters are set for the most part, but what's the stream? I understand that in a river there could be streams and currents. What's the current that God has for you today and for this season and seasons to come? So it's not just, I think with me, it's not just okay to be in the river, but where exactly in the current does God want you to be? Are you interested in that? I'm going to repeat. In the river of where you've been swimming in, it's good. It's good. But there is a current that is so now. It is so powerful. It is so new. It is so radical. It is so unknowable. It is like, this is why you're peculiar. Because I believe in your spirit, you're called to be peculiar. I mean, like, really peculiar. I didn't say weird, just peculiar. And what is that like? So that's what I'd like to explore with you today, this morning and tonight, as we begin to, as we walk, as we move about in our destiny, we're developing a new curriculum. We no longer are going by the old text of methodology of how do we make this thing happen. It doesn't work. Not if you're out of sync, but if you put things in sync according to the mind of the Lord, the mind of Yeshua Christ, Jesus Christ, then things begin to work. You understand? So, having said that, first I want to thank God. Thank you, Justin, and I'm so happy to see Tara well and your baby. We have been praying all the way from Texas, sending, you know, horse grams. and the baby, what's his name? Jarrett? Garrett. Garrett, look at him. He's looking at me. He is so perceptive. I pray that his perception is akin to your eyes of perceiving what the Spirit is saying to this church today, okay? I'm always happy to have friends with me that I've known for years, 7, 9, 10 years, and I could go through the list, but they're kind of sitting over here, all right? All of this crowd up here, rowdy cowboys and cowgirls, All right. I come from Texas, cow country, only to find the real cowboys up here. I send my grandson, Nate, who is into the Western kind of your style, Justin, you know. And I send him a picture of you and Lyndon yesterday. And, wow, this is a place that this young man would like to be, and you'd love him. He's just been accepted as partners with the Navy SEALs for training. He's keep Nate in prayer, all right? You're kind of a Navy SEAL. You're kind of a Navy SEAL congregation. You're unique, okay? You're very unique. You're peculiar, I said already. So let's get into the word. What does this mean about restoring your destiny? In Amos 9:1-1, hello, 9:1-1, it says, in that day, and you can check it out with you because with me, Amos 9:1-1. In that day, I will restore. Sounds familiar, restore, like restoration, fellowship. I will restore the fallen booth or tent of David. I will repair its gaps, restore its ruins, and rebuild it as in days of old. The fact is that David's tent is fallen. And I'm going to give you a blurb, a little bird's eye view on how did it fall? Who does it represent? And who's going to restore it? I am at the right place at the right time with the right people here. I believe that you are part of this remnant, peculiar remnant to restore. In that day, I will restore David's fallen tent. I've been led to talk about the urgent role of Christian Zionist believers like you as related to Israel and Jews. And I'm careful to label this Christian Zionist because there are Christian non-Zionists. Well, what does that mean? You might say, well, I didn't know they existed. Maybe this is old shoe for you. Yes, there are a lot of the Christian churches today that are partnering with the Muslim world, with the Palestinians, funding their projects, and despising God's chosen people, the Jews, for whatever reason. So it's an urgent call upon you. The point is that there are millions of crypto Jews, crypto from the Greek meaning hidden, secret, crypto Jews that don't even know who they actually are. And that's what we've been doing. My wife of 53 years next month, by the way, Helen, is over here. Marriage still works. 53, 3 kids, 10 grandkids, 4 great grandbaby girls. So my quiver is filled with arrows, okay? So the point is that I'm going to speak to the fact that there are remnants of David's fallen tent, don't even know who they are. But the point is, who's going to restore them? That's the issue, all right? And so I believe that there's something here today. Messiah cannot come. Jesus cannot come until every end times prophecy is fulfilled because God is a God of order. Now, I'm here to talk to you about the marriage, the intimate relationship that God intended from hundreds and thousands of years back that's documented in the Bible. The marriage or the relationship between Israel and the Zionist Christian church. Are we okay? That's where I'm going. Bear with me. Do I have all the answers? No, but we'll explore them together. Isaiah 66:19-21. Bear with me. I'm going to read portions of that. I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the Gentile nations. The word the nations there is, the implication is Gentile nations, and to the isles afar off. I'm reading from the King James Version, by the way, that have not heard of my fame, neither have heard or seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they, The righteous Gentiles, because there's unrighteous Gentiles, okay? The righteous Gentiles shall bring all your brethren, in this case, the Jewish people, for an offering unto the Lord out of all the nations to my holy mountain, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. There you have one example as early as the prophet Isaiah saying he's going to use Gentile, righteous Gentiles, to fetch or help Israel and the Jewish people. Now, that's just one of many. I love where it says in Hebrews 11:40. Look at what it says in the King James. I love this. Check this out. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. But there's two sides to the apple. It's a reciprocal relationship. It says that they, all right, they, the Jewish people, without us, the Gentile Zionist believers, they're incomplete. But what goes around comes around. We're also incomplete without them. You follow? I'm incomplete without Helen. We're one. We've been married for, as I said, almost 53 years. So, yes, I am me, Dell is Dell, and Helen is Helen. Once they were trying to say my name and her name so fast, they called me Dellen. No, I'm Dell. That's Helen. But we're one. In the eyes of God, we're one. And that's what it's all about. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes the point. We are fellow heirs. We're joint heirs. But how do we do this? If we're divided, okay, if we don't understand them, I'm here to tell you that this is the most opportune time in the history of Israel, as well as in the history of righteous Gentile Christians as you. And by the way, some of you are not just Gentiles. You think you're a Gentile, but you were really a Jew by ancestry. But I won't go there. You might say, well, I don't want to be a Jew. I already suffer enough persecution as it is. I'm sorry, but I'm just here to report a few facts, okay? All right, so you should have been here last night, and then I wouldn't have to explain what I'm trying to say. But that's all right. We forgive you. Now you owe me to come tonight. Amen? So they without us are incomplete. We without they are incomplete. And I already said, and Paul saying we are joint heirs. We are of the commonwealth. So there was a question that Justin asked me if we were eating some good, spicy, mine was spicier than yours, Hispanic Mexican food, sabroso, all right? Mine was with a lot of chile. Chile is hot sauce. He had to avoid that. And he asked, well, how do you walk this out? How do you reconcile the issue of the church, Zion, and Israel, Zion? Well, you have the spiritual Zion, the remnant real church, and then you have the literal Zion, Israel proper. Israel is still there. It's always been there. It is there physically, literally. We've been there 30 times, and it's still there. The last time I checked, it was there. Now, you have a peculiar calling. Let me nail this real quick. Do I have all the answers? I already asked. No, I don't. If you will follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, He will give you the curriculum. As you go, you will grow. Okay? As you discern. God has called you. I mentioned to Pastor Al 7 years ago, I was here. I had a vision, and I said this in January. And I shared this with you all. I believe I did. And I shared with you more detail by email that I had seen a vision of a cadre or a company of angels not far from here, toward the west from here in the mountains, and they were elite warring angels. I says, well, what are they doing here? Long story short is that the Lord made it clear to me that they were here for a purpose, but I had never seen this caliber of angelic hosts so fierce. I shared that with you that back then, with both of you, in fact. And so the Lord began to download on me that God has appointed a corridor from San Luis Valley all the way from the areas of Trinidad, Alamosa, the San Luis Valley, all the way to Cortez, and around that area with Pagosa Springs as a hub, as a hiding place, as a safe place, okay? Now, let this sink in. God has called you to be a hiding place, as in the days of old, for instance, in the book of Joshua, there were six cities of refuge. God has called you to be a city of refuge. Now, how do you break this down? It only complicates things all the more. Well, this is where you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of the Lord. You have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He will show you. And there we are so close to things beginning to get so hot that you will be in the process of protection and provision for fleeing Jews. So some of you have known this for many years, but you've wondered, well, where to from here? What do we do next? How do we put this to work? Well, you put it to work first in prayer, and secondly, you start. I once asked a marathoner, a runner who was a colleague of mine, I says, man, how can you run such marathon races? He says, one step at a time. Oh, so how do you run the race? One step at a time. All right? But you know the end. You see the finish line, and that's what's important. So God is calling you, as I said, to be a hiding place for Jews and others that are fleeing. Around that time, the Lord reminded me of a message of a series of visitations, and I want to share one of many. But God called me, as an example, to build a high-power educational television station in San Antonio. I was the wrong person to call. You might feel like, we're the wrong congregation to call for such a sublime calling or destiny. Well, that's what I said. I knew nothing about broadcasting. I knew nothing about Federal Communications Commission's law. But then I thought, well, we'll hire the law firm. The law firm wanted $50,000. I didn't even have $500 to retain this FCC law firm in Washington, D.C. All right? So guess what? Delfino Sanchez had to then litigate pro se on my own for my own cause before a judge in Washington, D.C. Where did I get the savvy? How would I know what to do had not the Holy Spirit of the living God revealed to me what? And there were times, folks, that I was under such duress that God saw it fit to send me angels to give me the strategy. Well, we won. But our opponents that wanted the same TV station in San Antonio, Texas, they says, we'll see you in court because we want that license. Well, I says, wow, the judge had already ruled 50-50, timeshare, 50-50. I said, 50% of a loaf of bread is better than nothing. I'll take it. But our opponent says, no, we want it all. Well, since you want it all, and God promised me something, then you'll have nothing. Well, it went to an appeal before three judges. Oh, yeah, yeah. Three. One is bad enough. Now three. Two Jews and an Italian. I says, oh, my. God is very humorous. And one of the Jewish judges, Blumenthal, Marino, and Jacobs, all right? One of the judges kept doing this number at me. I said, oh, my God, what does that mean? What does that mean? This is literal. It's all in the record. It's all public file, all right? The whole transcript and all. I says, oh, God. Well, long story short, I had been there an hour ahead of the hearing in Washington, D.C., before three judges, praying up a storm. Lord, fill this room with your word, with your spirit. And, Lord, place an angel here that checks who comes in and who goes out in terms of the public. And, Lord, where the judges will come in through that door up there, put the biggest, ugliest angel that'll scare the demons off of them. Well, guess what? When they called me, first of all, I was trembling in my boots. I mean, I didn't know what they were going to ask. But had I been more perceptive, God had revealed himself to me and given me the revelation of what I would be asked. He gave me the revelation of the 5 points of the criteria. But, I dug myself all the way to China in terms of my research. I bought a commercial briefcase filled with documents that I had of my research because I had, by God, Dale Sanchez is going to present before three judges. They didn't even touch that stuff. They touched the thing that the angel of the Lord had revealed to me. You might say, well, why are you saying this? I'll get there. Maybe. And guess what? That's exactly. Well, first they asked Joseph Dunn III of the my opponent lawyer, a real seasoned Jim Stedded law firm against a little barrio, pro se, inner city pastor in the poorest census tract of San Antonio, which was what I was doing after my tenure at universities. And guess what? The exact formula that God had given me by the angel of the Lord was the formula of the questions that were asked. So who do you think won that TV station's license? I did. They asked first Joseph Dunn to come, and they grilled him. And I'm trembling back here. Oh, God, are they going to do that to me? You know, shut up and listen, God says, because this is your school before you go up to the microphone before the judges. The judges made me look good, and they kept me from looking bad. That's what he'll do with you. That's what he does with you. I won, but then I didn't have the money. It was going to cost millions. The third attempt on extension within which to construct, because we didn't have the money, millions to build the TV station. The third extension request with the FCC, by then point, after that, it's forget it. The license goes back to the pile. We'd lose it. God twists a multimillionaire's arm to come and bankroll the whole thing. So money's not a problem. We're the problem. Hello. Strategy is not the problem. We're the problem. So I invite you, I urge you, as you would partner in the Lord with this odyssey of the Spirit. So before David died, let me get back to my notes. I just wanted to say to you that your calling and your destination is so peculiar that there is no textbook. There is no curriculum. I'm sorry, but such is true. There's no format or methodology established. You're going to establish a prototype, folks. If you want. I hope that you desire. God had David commission Solomon to build the temple. Now I want to explain to you about David's fallen tent. He commissioned him to build a relationship with King Hiram of the Phoenician Empire. All right? They build a fleet of ships right by the Red Sea by Ezion Geber, by Eilat. All right? This was the beginning of Sephardic expeditions. I'm getting toward the tent. Who are these tent people? Here's the tent, and who are the restorers of the tent? But in 586 BC, the Babylonian troops came and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and burned its walls. Remember that? In 586. It's in the Bible. The temple, the tent of David was demolished. The tent of David was demolished, okay? After the Persian king's decree, if you recall, they're in slavery, they're in captivity. These Judahites rebuilt the temple under Ezra and Nehemiah with the prophet Zechariah and Haggai supporting them prophetically. Thank God for the prophetic, without which this thing won't go on. The prophetic introduces revelation, inspiration. It produces visions, dreams, visitations that we don't deserve, but God just does it. And if he didn't do it, you couldn't get the job done. I am predicting, I am prophesying to you that as you take the first step in the name of the Lord in this endeavor of your destiny that has to do with restoring the fallen tent of David, God will begin to reveal himself with visions and with dreams and revelations, visitation, supernatural, but keep humble. Que no se te vaya la cabeza. What is that? You only understood cabeza, huh? Here, don't let it go to your head. Let it come in your heart. Stay in your heart. Because you, I'm prophesying this to you, you will become a model, a prototype that will replicate this in places only that by the Spirit he wants you to go. All right? So he will totally take care over this. After Yeshua's sacrifice, what happened is that, the temple, the fallen tent of David, was restored by Ezra and Nehemiah, only to be torn down again by the Roman Empire, by the Roman troops. Remember in 70 AD? Boom! After Yeshua's sacrifice, death, resurrection, and ascension. You all recall, you know that. So the tent was utterly destroyed, but not the tent people. But you keep talking about the tent people. Who are they? I'm going to get there. I'll get there because they're among you. They're all over. They're in this church. They're in this city. They're in this state. They're all around. So for 1,300 years, these Sephardic of Spain, Jewish Judahites that are the fallen tent of David, flourished all the way through the Golden Age, the Golden Era. After enduring 400 years of Islam rule and oppression from the 7th to the 11th century, the tent people begin to go underground. Then we have the Spanish Inquisition in Spain, the Portuguese Inquisition. What's an Inquisition? It's a Holocaust. They lasted 300 years, and hardly a lot of people don't know about those Holocausts. Not like Hitler's, which is infamous and horrible. But these were not just 5 or 10 years in length. They were like 300 years. There was an Inquisition in Mexico. People don't even know. And these forces pushed these tent people. These Judahites, the fallen tent of David, pushed them all the way to Pagosa Springs, San Luis Valley, Colorado, New Mexico, Texas, throughout the Southwest. And as good Jews, we've multiplied and we are prospering. We're not going to go away. Amen? Now, would you believe what I said last night, that even Christopher Columbus was one of these tent Judahites? There's evidence now that Christopher Columbus and a lot of the explorers, like Spanish conquistadors, they were also tent Judahites. So God wants you to fulfill your destiny by restoring a lot of these crypto Jews that went underground back since the days of the Babylonian captivity, the Roman captivity, the Spanish Inquisition, the Portuguese Inquisition, the Mexican Inquisition. Even New Mexico had an Inquisition since 1830, and people don't even know it. We didn't have an Inquisition. We had to remember the Alamo Inquisition, which I don't want to get into, so don't even ask. A viceroy of King Philip II, Don Luis de Carvajal, Don Luis for short, all right? He came in with his entourage of crypto, 10 people, Judaized, but they were in hiding. They were underground. Hello, underground? Like Underground Railroad? Like the corridor that I'm talking about? They went underground into South Central Texas, but Don Juan de Oñate, Don Juan, like the San Juan River, okay? But this is Don Juan. Another viceroy under King Philip II came all the way to New Mexico, founded New Mexico, put the hub in New Mexico, and they came into the San Luis Valley, and then they spread all the way up here, and they don't even know who they really are. We have hard social sciences and hard sciences, evidences that corroborate what I am saying, these 10 people. Yesterday, I demonstrated that these 10 people hid the secret so well for so long, they forgot what the secret was. Has that ever happened to you? Sometimes they just go from one room to the other. What was I looking for? I forgot. No, backtrack, forget it. All right? I presented evidences yesterday evening that these are the children of the Inquisitions from Spain to Mexico to Portugal to Mexico, Latin America, Central America, the Philippines had an Inquisition. People don't know. And they're here, all around us. I presented evidences such as history, oral histories, onomastics like the art and science of surnames, material, archaeological evidences, genealogies, and so forth and so on, to let you know who that the 10 people are amongst you. So what now? We have to begin to see things the way God sees them. How does God see them? He sees things, the end from the beginning. So bear with me. I'm going to cover two halves of two verses. I could stay on this, just on the book of Obadiah, all month. But I'm just going to take two halves to try to show you, to give you at least a hint, to point the light of this spiritual flashlight, this floodlight, so you could see where to go from here. Look, a lot of you, parenthetically, you moved here, and you came here, and you are here because God brought you here, period. Punto y aparte, period and on. Some of you have been here. Some have been here for many years. And this is a time that God has ordained now before all hell breaks loose. Just look at the world around us. Look at Turkey. I won't get into that, the military coup. Look at Nice, France, and on and on and on. Look at America and terrorism all around. Look at the balagan, the confusion in the political party and conventions that begin, this week. Look at all of that. Meantime, God is showing us signals. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Now is a time. Some of you grew weary, but not weary so much that you fainted. There's a scripture in Spanish, no te canses pues de hacer el bien porque a su debido tiempo segarás si no hubieras desmayado. Don't get tired or weary in well doing because in due season you're going to reap unless you're knocked out. That's basically my paraphrase. If you're knocked out, you're fainted, you can't reap a thing. In Revelation 22:17, it reads, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come, and whosoever will let him take the water of life freely. So now, I said earlier, we've got to see the ending from the beginning, the way God sees it, okay? The ending from the beginning, and if you look at, and you could follow with me in your Bible, Obadiah, the smallest book in all of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, Obadiah, you look at the last verse, three phrases in the last verse, and then I'm going to back up. And saviors, little s, some version says liberators or rescuers, shall ascend Mount Zion, will judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. That's the end result. That's the come, Lord Jesus, come. I never thought I'd hear myself saying so loud and boldly, I've had it. Oh, Lord, come. It's not that I'm chicken or that I lack bravery or courage. It's that, oh, God, unless you come, I don't know what we're going to do. And the Lord has come. The Lord is here with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you in a peculiar and special way. So a Savior shall mount up or come up to Zion, judge the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Say it with me. And the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Amen? Now, in order to get to the end, just that one little verse, we have to press through a very critical path. You got to go through a critical path. It's like a pregnancy that's full of complications as your honey went through some tough times, Justin. And we were praying in Texas, man. We were praying. And now we see the fruit wherever he is. Wow, man. And that's prophetic. That is prophetic. What Justin and Tara went through in the literal, you've gone through in the spiritual. You almost died. And the baby with it. The mom and the baby were about to die. But God, as it reads up there, but God. God had almost said, you know what, Yamasta, enough is enough. Huh? But God, this is the best day of the rest of your life. All right? I remember the Walt Kelly in his little comic strip, Pogo, we have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. It's our flesh that's our enemy. It's our carnality. It's our doubt. It's our fear that's our enemy. But God intervenes on our behalf. God is intervening on your behalf. If anything you can take home with you, take to the bank, is God is with you. This is a new day because God has ordained you and this church and this city. God will raise up a remnant, and he's raising it right here out of the ancient stump of David. It was knocked down, but it is sprouting back up. It won't die. It won't die. You will not die. You will live. You will live. And you know what? Not only you, your children and your grandchildren will live too. Because me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. So you've got that kind of, for you to appreciate where you got to go, you almost have to walk backward. My goal is Messiah's coming. The goal of many Jews is Messiah's coming. They may see or perceive a different Messiah. That's okay, because when he comes, we'll all see him. We'll all know. One Israeli Jew was at a president's conference in Jerusalem saying to a bunch of Israeli diplomats and government leaders, and he says, hey, guys, he says, you know what? If Messiah comes and he says, it's good to know you. It's good to be here, as it were, for the first time. Then we know it's a Jewish Messiah. But if he says, hey, guys, it's good to be back, then you know it's a Christian Messiah, because he will return. He is going to return. He is at the door, even so. You follow? All right. He will return. So you need to bask in the knowledge of the hope of the blessed hope of his coming. That's the end result. That's what it's all about. Now, we're going to back up from there, okay? But we must cast our titles, our achievements, our dossiers, our resumes, our crowns, cast them at his feet. Let him put on you a crown of righteousness, as Paul writes. Let us all wear our crown of righteousness, because that's the only way we're going to do it. 2 Timothy 4:8. Amen? And as we prepare the way for the Lord, we now move backward one phrase. We started with, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's, but move back one phrase. It declares we're going to punish the and judge, or as a Jewish Bible says, wreak havoc. I like that, the Jewish Bible. Wreak havoc on the mountains of Esau. The point is, who's Esau? Well, we know that biblically Esau is Jacob's brother, but he's a renegade. He's a rebel. He took off and joined forces with Uncle Ishmael. So then we, most of the Christians, say that the Edomites, Esau, Edomite, synonymous, same thing, the Edomites are Muslims. Well, look around. The Muslims are acting like ancient Esau, all right? But the Jews say, guess who the Jews think are the Edomites? Us. Us, the believers. That's, we got to correct that theology, amen? And we are. Today's most violent anti-Israel people is Islam. As I already said, look around the world. Look at Nice, France right now. Inside and surrounding Israel's borders are jihadists. But God has put a spirit of self-destruction on these Edomites to the point that you just have to show up and be on time. Like Bob Jones would often say in our congregation in San Antonio, just show up and be on time. You can't whip 1.5 or 1.6 billion Muslims. A great percentage of them are radical terrorists. You can't whip them, okay? But the anointing that is resident in you and in me, it blows them away. As it says in Revelation, that when he comes, Messiah comes, he's going to blow away the devil by the glory of his splendor. Who's ever heard the wow of the splendor blowing away the devil? Well, that's what's going to happen. It's a splendor of his call. It's a splendor of his anointing on you. I'm just encouraging you. I am prophesying to you. You can do all things through Messiah Christ who strengthens you. You're called. You're selected. You didn't ask him. He asked you. And then as a result, you responded to him. Okay? So, moving on. The saddest thing for me to see is that a lot of the Christian churches today have become replacement theology, have espoused a replacement where the church replaces Israel. The church does not replace Israel. Neither does Israel replace the church. You follow? You have the church, the remnant church, not the harlot church, but the remnant faithful church. And then you have the faithful remnant Jews, because not all that says Israel is Israel. Not all that say they're Jews are Jews. But I didn't say that. The Bible says that. You follow? So God is partnering, okay, both Jew and Gentile. Gentile Zionists. And I'm at the right place at the right time here. So we move on. All right, backward a little bit from we will ascend the mountains of Esau. I don't have to be in Israel to ascend the mountains of Esau to punish Esau. I could just send my rockets from here called prayer and intercession. You follow? But now this is where I want to just wrap it up, okay? I want to wrap it up. I want to draw it all together if I can. If you move back half a step from verse 21 to verse 20b. They go together. The exiles of Jerusalem, the Judahites, the fallen tent of David, the exiles, what? The exiles, the captives of Jerusalem that are in Sepharad, that was Spain, Sepharad is Spain in Hebrew. That's where you get Sephardic. Will ascend Mount Zion, return, possess the cities and the villages of the Negev, and then liberators will ascend Mount Zion to punish the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now, here's where I want to wrap it up, if I can, for now, till tonight, where I hope I could put things a little bit clearer and in a further order. It's ludicrous to think that Jews alone, without the remnant Christians, can pull this verse off and call Messiah's coming. It's ludicrous. It's ridiculous to think that Jews alone can fulfill all the prophecies that pertain to Israel without the remnant church. But on the other hand, it's ludicrous to believe that the remnant Christian church can do it without the remnant Jews. Are you with me? Listen to it again. The exiles of Jerusalem, they went down with the Babylonian destruction, the Roman destruction, the Spanish Inquisition, the Portuguese Inquisition, okay? The Mexican Inquisition, the New Mexican Inquisition, the fallen tent of David. They need to be restored so that you can fulfill your end of the job. That's why your name is Restoration Fellowship. Is it making sense? That's why you're called Restoration Fellowship. We're dealing with a people group that are collectively, and don't even know it, corporately traumatized. Almost like you deal, as it were, with a prisoner of war. Post-traumatic syndrome. But they don't know. Because they don't even know who they are. That's why there's a verse in the Talmud that says, Tinoch shenishba be'in ha'goyim. Tinoch shenishba be'in ha'goyim means, in simple blade terms, is that when an individual discovers that he or she has Jewish roots, Jewish ancestry, those that are Jews need to embrace them and help them. But who better to embrace, Pastor L? Who better to help, to heal, to restore than the body where we grew up? You follow? Yes, the Jews have got to do their part, but we can't wait on them. All right? We're here. They're there. So this is a beginning. It's a new beginning for you folks. I'm excited for you. I'm excited. So who are these 10 people? Oh, if you were here last night, you'd hear some of the most interesting names. I'm not being ethnocentric, please. I would be the first one to take off my shoes because I saw that before I came. Well, why not? May I have one more minute? I hope my socks are not holy. You're it. What did you do to deserve it? I don't know. Why? I don't know. But you're it. We've traveled from coast to coast. From the East Coast to the West Coast and in between, especially the Southwest. ¿Qué ve Dios en ti? What does God see in you? That's my question. God, what do you see in them? I don't know. But something. Something unique and peculiar. Well, you only raise more questions, Dale. Good. Ask. And you shall find. All right? Seek. And then knock. And then kick. Why you? I don't know. Why now? Just look around. Things are perilous and ugly, but you've been selected. This evening, I want to bring the half of this message that pulls it together Now, where do we go from here? What does this mean? Again, I don't have a lot of the answers. I have a lot of more questions, but we'll walk it together. All right? I'll finish with this thing, and I'll let you, and then I'll let Pastor Justin come over. When I was in the Negev, right before I was here 7 years ago, I was in a little kibbutz, in a little teeny apartment, very humble, very quaint, very humble. And the Lord, in the night, the Lord himself came into my room. And as I saw myself in the vision, I was in a little, it was just a little humble apartment, little square dining table. And as he walked in from my right, everything began to shake. I was shaking. The table was shaking. The salt and pepper shakers were shaking. Everything was shaking. And he came like this, kind of stooped. He was a man almighty with a mission, with something to whisper into my ear. And he sat down. He says to me, which I say to you, I came to dine with you. I came to dine with you. In the same breath, I came to shake things up. It's good when he shakes things, because he knows what, how to accommodate and set things in order. Sometimes our lives need to be shaken up. I had a series of thoughts, plans for you this weekend. God says, very good, file them. Put them away. This is what I have to say to you. You've been selected. Don't let frustration, confusion set in. Don't let it. Amen? The Lord is mightily with you. Shalom to you. God bless you.